You're listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for tuning in to the newest episode of the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Soker. This episode is being released on November 13th, 2025. And this week we're talking about whether or not a preacher needs a sabbatical. These have started to be talked about more in the religious world, particularly among those who are preachers or pastors that work with larger and usually wealthier congregations. It refers to the practice of giving the preacher or pastor an extended break, sometimes 2 and 3 months off, to give him time to rest, to recharge, and to come back ready to step back into the work with renewed energy and focus. Well, is this a good practice? What does the Bible teach that would help us answer that question? We're going to talk about that today. For links to some related materials, check out the show notes for this episode at plainbibleteaching.com/podcast/11-13-25. Now for our discussion this week. Sabbaticals are a growing trend in the religious world. They're not widespread yet, but they are being talked about more and practiced more than they used to be. I saw one pastor on Twitter share his church's official sabbatical policy that they had drawn up. Another pastor suggested that churches should offer 1.5 days for every month worked, to which I replied that if we use that standard, I should be due for about an 11.5-month sabbatical. And that was a few months ago. By now, I would be up to over 12 months of a sabbatical, which I know is not going to happen. That's okay. But with more pastors talking about the practice of a sabbatical and more churches in the religious world implementing it, even if it's not by a majority, do not be surprised if this starts to be introduced in churches of Christ in the coming years. Oftentimes, we are about 5 to 10 years behind the trends that we see in the religious world. So this could be something that's on the way. When I first heard about the practice of a sabbatical, my initial reaction was that might sound good in theory, but I could not really envision this being practical in any way in the vast majority of churches. But the more I've thought about it, the less I like the idea. And the feeling that it is a necessity is indicative of an underlying problem, and we're going to talk about that as we go on. So there are a few points I want us to consider today. The first is that this concept of a sabbatical has a basis in the Old Testament. There was a weekly Sabbath that they practiced every seventh day of the week. For 6 days, work may be done, but on the seventh day, there is a Sabbath of complete rest, a holy convocation. You shall not do any work. It is a Sabbath to the Lord in all your dwellings. They were to work 6 days and rest the seventh day, and they were to do this every week. And this was not just for the Levites or the priests. This was for all of the people. And this was to remind them of their dependence upon God. But not just a weekly Sabbath, but there was also a Sabbath year that was commanded in the law. Speak to the sons of Israel and say to them, when you come into the land which I shall give you, then the land shall have a Sabbath to the Lord. 6 years you shall sow your field, and 6 years you shall prune your vineyard and gather in its crop. But during the seventh year the land shall have a Sabbath rest, a Sabbath to the Lord. You shall not sow your field nor prune your vineyard. So they were to farm the land for 6 years and then let the land rest, which would also mean they would be resting from that work on the seventh year. And God promised an abundance during the sixth year to carry them through until the year after the Sabbath year, but they had to trust him to do that. But the law of Moses also talks about a year of Jubilee. You are also to count off 7 Sabbaths of years for yourself, 7 times 7 years. So that you may have the time of the 7 Sabbaths of years, namely 49 years. You shall then sound a ram's horn abroad on the 10th day of the 7th month. On the Day of Atonement, you shall sound a horn all through your land. You shall thus consecrate the 50th year and proclaim a release through the land to all its inhabitants. It shall be a jubilee for you, and each of you shall return to his own property, and each of you shall return to his family. You shall have the 50th year as a jubilee. You shall not sow, nor reap its aftergrowth, nor gather in from its untrimmed vines, for it is a jubilee. It shall be holy to you. You shall eat its crops out of the field. So every 50th year they would not sow, they would not reap, and keep in mind this was the 50th year, which would follow a seventh or Sabbath year. Seven Sabbath years would take place and then the year of Jubilee. So that would mean there would be 2 years that the land would be resting. So they would have to, again, trust in God to provide. Also during the year of Jubilee, the lands would revert back to their original owners or their families as a way to reset their inheritance in the promised land. So we see all that in the Old Testament, but what about in the New Testament? Well, sabbaticals are foreign to the New Testament. Unlike the Sabbath day and the Sabbath year and the year of Jubilee that were commanded in the Old Testament, there is no command like that in the New Testament. There is no example or even a hint that this was ever done in the early church, unless maybe we count Paul's 2-year imprisonment in Caesarea in Acts 24, but I don't think anyone would count an imprisonment as a sabbatical. But when we think about Paul, he made it a point at times to work more than was necessary in preaching and also doing secular work to support himself. And this was done to set an example for the believers. He wrote to the brethren in Thessalonica, "Nor did I eat anyone's bread without paying for it, but with labor and hardship we kept working night and day so that we would not be a burden to any of you." And he spoke elsewhere of his willingness to spend and be expended for the brethren. So we think about Paul and his wanting to set an example for the brethren. What example is being set when a preacher takes a sabbatical? No one else in the congregation can do that. Now, proponents of sabbaticals for preachers or pastors or however they label that one in that role, they will argue that the work of the preacher or pastor is unique, that it is emotionally and mentally and spiritually demanding, and so because of that, it is a unique need for a sabbatical. At least, that's what the argument is. But I would contend that if a preacher needs or feels like he needs a sabbatical, there is an underlying problem. And there's a few possibilities as far as what that might be. One is that he's overworked and he doesn't rest like he should. And if that's the case, he needs to learn to work at a sustainable pace and take regular periods of rest. Jesus advised his disciples to do this in Mark chapter 6. He said to them, "Come away by yourselves to a secluded place and rest a while. For there were many people coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat." Now, there are times that require us to go above and beyond and do more than we would do otherwise. But doing that perpetually is a recipe for burnout, which leads to ineffectiveness or abandoning the work altogether. We need to work at a sustainable pace. Another possibility is that a preacher is overburdened or too stressed from the work that he is doing. And this happens when he has too much on his plate, when he's trying to do more than what his actual job is, not in the sense of a secular job, but how the work is described in the New Testament. And so it's no wonder that this practice has developed among pastors, usually in megachurches, because they're trying to do the work of preachers and elders and CEOs. And you can only do so much. Here's a quote that says, "A man's got to know his limitations." And I know that's from a movie. I have not seen the movie, but I like that quote because it's a reminder that we cannot do everything. We have to know what our limitations are. And then another possibility is the preacher might feel like he needs a rest or a sabbatical because he's forgotten what his primary work is. And this goes back to the last point. The denominational world has created a job that is nothing like what we read about in the New Testament. Often the problem is not the work, but the things that we have added to the work. So instead of a sabbatical, what could be done instead? Well, one, preacher needs to learn to pace himself. Preachers need to work hard, but not overwork, which leads to burnout. We often talk about the idea that the Christian life is like a marathon and not a sprint. That idea comes from passages like Hebrews 12 and verse 1. "Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us." Our Christian life is a marathon that we have to endure and keep going all the way until the end. Well, we should think of the work of preaching in the same way. We have to pace ourselves and continue to move, continue to grow, continue to move forward, but we have to pace ourselves. Another way we can avoid feeling like we need a sabbatical is that we need to get more people involved. The preacher does not have to preach every sermon, and there's a good case to be made for not preaching every sermon. And we discussed this on the podcast a couple years ago. I'll link to that episode in the show notes. But at our congregation, this is something that we regularly do. Even though it is a smaller congregation, this is something that we think is important. So every fifth Sunday, when there is a fifth Sunday, one of the men of the congregation takes a turn to preach instead of me. And this is good for everyone, for the one preaching, for the congregation, for the preacher as well. It's good for everyone. It is good for others to develop their ability to do the work of preaching and teaching the gospel. Paul told Timothy, "The things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." Even if these brethren never become what we call full-time preachers, it is beneficial to them and to the rest of the congregation to have them share in this work. But then also what we can do is focus on the role that's given in the scriptures. So what does a preacher need to be doing? Well, primarily is preaching and teaching both publicly and privately. Paul talked about this when he spoke with the elders from the church at Ephesus in Acts chapter 20. "How I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable in teaching you publicly and from house to house." In public and in private, Paul was teaching and preaching the gospel among them. But then also equip others to be involved, which goes back to what we talked about with what Timothy was to do in training others who would be able to teach others as well. But in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, it says he gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of service for the building up of the body of Christ. One of the responsibilities of a preacher or an evangelist, as he's called in that passage, is to help equip or prepare or train others to do the work of ministry or to do the work of service. It is not his job to do everything for them. And a preacher who does everything, while we might look up to him and say, "Well, look at how hardworking he is," that might be true, but he's neglecting part of the job. He needs to help equip others to be able to do the work as well. So do the work as a preacher that you have been called to do. And don't try to take on the work of an elder, unless, of course, you actually are an elder. 1 Timothy 5:17 talks about elders also doing the work of preaching. But if that's the case, and you're following the New Testament pattern, you're going to have other elders with you to share in that work. There are plenty of things to do without adding on other responsibilities that don't belong to the preacher. So in summary, when it comes to preachers taking sabbaticals, it is ultimately going to be decided by the church where the preacher is laboring. There may be extenuating circumstances that would make a break like this wise, particularly if he's dealing with health problems or something like that. The beauty of church autonomy, as it's described in the New Testament, is that each church can do what is most expedient for that congregation, as long as it remains within the bounds of Bible authority. However, as a general practice, this is not something really that we should be seeing. Preachers in the New Testament did not take sabbaticals. There is no procedure or no policies outlined in the scriptures. So instead of deciding that sabbaticals are the way to go, we need to see what problem we're trying to solve, whether it's overwork, stress, or whatever it might be, and then see how we can adjust our practices and expectations in such a way that a sabbatical no longer feels necessary. That's all for this week. Thank you for listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. Hope you found this discussion to be helpful. For links to some related materials, check out the show notes for this episode at plainbibleteaching.com/podcast/11-13-25. If you have a moment to rate and review the podcast or share it with others, that is always appreciated. And if you're listening to this, remember that we also upload video versions of the podcast to the Plain Bible Teaching YouTube channel. So if you prefer to watch this on video, that option is there for you. And if you are watching this on YouTube, please like this video and subscribe to the channel so you can see the other videos we post here from time to time. And if you're interested in seeing the script for this episode, that will be available on Substack. You can find the link in the show notes. And if you see a news story or have some topic that you think would make for a good discussion here, send that to me at andy@plainbibleteaching.com. Thanks again for listening, and I hope to talk to you again next time.
Thank you for listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it with others. Also, be sure to sign up for the Plain Bible Teaching Weekly Newsletter. This free newsletter will be delivered to your inbox each Friday with articles, podcasts, videos, sermon outlines, and more. Visit plainbibleteaching.com to subscribe today.